And hello, everybody, and welcome to a new episode of Conquest Chronicles podcast. This is Matt here, along with Dina, and we are at homecoming weekend. No, it's not what you think of with high school, where everybody, where you have a homecoming king and a homecoming queen. Literally, I just came from that just minutes ago. I had 2 weeks of it, of having to sit through homecoming. But it's not that type of homecoming that you think of. Literally, it's just a bunch. It's just, they call it a homecoming game where they have a lot of alumni. What is it? Like, a lot of alumni usually come.
Yeah, alumni. There's class reunions. I know a lot of the band and Song Girls alumni come out.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a fun time.
Yeah, it's usually a good time. Usually it's fun because you see a lot of faces and everything, and sometimes you see former players come on campus to tailgate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Before we get into this week's game, previewing this week's game, I remember, I don't think Stanford was a homecoming game, but I remember it was big enough, and TJ McDonald stopped by the tailgate that I was at. TJ McDonald, Mark Tyler, Lawrence Jackson. Who else did I meet that day? I think I met Alex Holmes that day. There was a lot of people. There was a lot of former players there. There was a good amount of former players there, but it's fun though. I mean, you would think, I don't know if you saw that they were selling tickets for 20% off for the homecoming game.
I didn't see that. Uh-uh.
Yeah, they sent me an email that it was 20% off actually, and this was coming straight off the Notre Dame game. I think this is like a couple of days after the Notre Dame game. I mean, and I get it, because I think they knew, whoever's in charge of ticket sales and marketing, I think they knew that with USC losing two straight games, unranked, against Arizona, who just got the brakes beat off of them by Washington, really, you're not going to go see that game. You're just not. I mean, unless you follow college football like that, you're not really going to see that game. That's just how it is. But
Arizona USC isn't really an exciting matchup on paper.
No, on paper it should be a shootout. Actually, I mean, especially given the recent reports, but. On paper, it should be a shootout, but because Arizona actually has a top 10 offense this year.
Really?
Statistically, they are a top 10. They're top 10 in offense.
Interesting.
They're top 10 off. I don't know if it's advanced metrics that it's in. It could be that, but they are nationally a top 10 offense.
Interesting.
Exactly, that's what I said. But I mean, if they are, they are. I mean, it's understandable how they are. Defensively, on the other hand, that's a different story. Defensively, I believe it's a different story. But speaking of that, seeing we're on the subject, let's go ahead and let's talk about that, because USC, again, coming off of two straight losses. However, and they're 3-3 right now. However, they're currently, if you look at it, and believe it or not, they're currently still hold their own destiny in the Pac-12 South, as do every other team in the Pac-12 South, which is, it's wide open. But USC, believe it or not, can win the Pac-12 South and play for the Pac-12 championship. If you really think about it, as of right now, there is no clear dominant team in the Pac-12. There really isn't.
Right.
I mean, if you
it seems like USC has the keys to their destiny every year. They just...
They do. I mean, realistically, if you look at it, and this is just being frank here, this is being brutally frank here. If you look at it, the last 3 years, USC have had their own fate in the Pac-12 South. You couldn't really say, I can't say 2016 they had their own fate in their hands. Because in all actuality, they didn't. Because they dropped two conference games early. They started 0-2 in conference.
Mm-hmm.
They started 0-2 in conference, and then they started winning the rest of the games. But if they would have won that game against Utah, they would have been playing for a conference championship. Either way, they made the Rose Bowl. Either way, that season, they made the Rose Bowl. The next year, they lost one conference game. And I felt they weren't the dominant team in the Pac-12 South, but they were the best team in the Pac-12 South, or in the Pac-12. They weren't the dominant team in the Pac-12, but they were the best team in the Pac-12. And last year, they had their own fate. They had their own fate. If they would have beaten ASU, they would have been fine. But them losing to ASU, I think, jacked it up.
Yeah, I think...
Well, no, because Utah. The Utah loss did it, actually.
I think Oregon right now is the Pac-12 leader, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. They are.
Oregon, I think, I don't know, Arizona State's kind of creeping up on, creeping up in the rankings.
And that, Arizona State is playing good football. They are not the Arizona State from the last couple of years. ASU is actually playing good football right now. Utah is playing good football right now, bouncing back from that loss. And USC still has to play all of those teams outside of ASU. But this week they got to get past Arizona, and Arizona is actually in good.
You mean outside of Utah?
Yeah, well, they play Utah already.
Right, you said outside of ASU.
Oh, my bad. Outside of Utah. I was trying to say Utah, but my mind was saying ASU. Darn you, Herm Edwards. Though I like Herm Edwards. I like what he's doing there. But Arizona, they're coming into this game, coming off of a loss to Washington. They're currently 4-2 right now, 2-1 in conference. They hung with Washington until a Khalil Tate fumble just ruined all of that. And then it was just downhill for the Wildcats from there. But they come into this game. They haven't beaten USC at the Coliseum in 10 years. Well, in December, it will be 10 years. The last win was in December when Nick Foles and Rob Gronkowski came into the Coliseum with Arizona. I believe it was Mark Stoops who was the head coach at the time. And USC and USC ended up losing in a stunning way, lost to Arizona. And yes.
Who was the quarterback, like John David Booty?
No, Barkley.
Barkley. Has it already been 10 years? Holy crap.
Yeah, it's already, well, December, it will be 10 years. I think December 4th or December 5th. It's one of the days in December. And this was Pete Carroll's last year, actually. The final year of Pete Carroll, this was the final game, the final game that Pete Carroll coached at the LA Coliseum was a loss to Arizona. And that was the last time Arizona defeated USC at the LA Coliseum.
Yeah, I should have known it was Barkley. I don't know why I said John Davis Booty.
Well, I was about to
wow.
say.
Wow.
Yeah,
about to say,
that
was dumb.
Did the 2009 season just blank out? Did you blank out for the 2009
season? I don't know. I always forget that Matt Barkley's kind of getting up there.
Yeah.
in, like, football age terms.
His fresh? Well, you got to think of it, too. I'm telling you, I'm about to tell you as if you graduated high school in 2009. In 2009 was the, was Matt Barkley's freshman season. And that was the year USC just, I guess the rest of the Pac-12 just caught up to USC. Because they lost to Washington. They lost to Washington, Oregon. They got the breaks. Yeah, they got the breaks beat off of them by Oregon and Stanford and lost to Arizona. Believe it or not. So, and I think they're in on a losing streak in LA in general, because I don't think they've beaten, UCLA at the Rose Bowl in a while either.
Really?
So it, somewhere it said that Arizona is on a losing streak in Los Angeles, period.
Was the year Khalil Tate?
You're from Los Angeles. You're from Inglewood, actually. Khalil Tate's from...
Tate was, like, in the Heisman race. Did they not play UCLA at home?
They play UCLA. No, because it was during his Heisman campaign.
Yeah.
No, because UCLA was at... UCLA was at was at Arizona that year. And... U.S. and they came in the Coliseum, but with this game, and again USC coming off of a narrow loss to UCLA, coming off of a narrow loss to Notre Dame, a game that you could say that USC should have won, could have won actually.
Yeah, they should have won that. They could have and should have.
Yeah. So coming into this game. You think, okay, USC's at home. This is a, you know, this is going to be a walk in the park. Well, it's not going to be the quite walk in the park that you think it is. So USC is going to be down 4 defensive starters again.
Mm-hmm.
Elijah Griffin is doubtful. Well, I should say 3 because 1 is a game time decision. Isaac Taylor Stewart is a game time decision. For Saturday's game, for tomorrow's game, as of record time. Elijah Griffin is doubtful with he has a bulging disc in his back. He had lower back, tightness, that tightened up on him again against Notre Dame. He is doubtful for this game. Greg Johnson, the cornerback, he is also out for this game with a dislocated shoulder. He had a dislocated shoulder, so that takes time. And Palote Geoteote is out with a high ankle sprain. So Kanai Maiuga will be taking his spot. Max Williams, the freshman Nick cornerback, he will be taking Greg Johnson's spot at nickel. And Chris Steele, the true freshman, will be starting at Elijah Griffin's spot, but he's been getting rotation time. So Darian Hewitt and Jalen Williams, two true freshmen, they've been getting first team reps and could start this game if Isaac Taylor Stewart is unable to go. He also has a high ankle sprain that was suffered. All these injuries were suffered in the Notre Dame game. Also, offensively, Veve Malapai is out for this game. He's out for a good amount of time after having knee surgery on a swollen knee. So he's out for a considerable amount of time, which means
all aboard the step train.
Yep. Which he should be getting more carries anyway after that Notre Dame.
Right, right. Yeah, I'm happy with how he's just burst onto the scene.
So.
And I'm glad that the coaches aren't being dumb and, you know, holding him. I'm glad that they're, you know, with Notre Dame and with, Washington, they upped his reps.
Yeah, even Utah. Mm-hmm. He didn't have a bad, though the rushing game against Utah wasn't really there.
Well, he kind of came in at Utah at the end to seal the deal.
He didn't have a bad game or anything. It's not like he had a bad game. He actually helped out a little bit. So I mean, that did help a little. That did help out. But with that being said, Arizona, on the other hand, Arizona's coming in actually with a pretty deadly offense. And I say deadly offense is because Khalil Tate, we all know Khalil Tate, his scrambling ability. We know USC struggles with, how can I say this, Dina? They struggle against mobile quarterbacks.
Mm-hmm. They've kind of contained him.
Yeah, the last three meetings they have contained Khalil Tate. They have done a good job containing Khalil Tate. However, USC is replacing four starters filling in, and USC has not done well with mobile quarterbacks.
Yeah, this year they have definitely not.
This season they have been atrocious. They've been atrocious against containing the outside runs. They've been atrocious containing the edge, and they got gashed up in between the tackles. They have just been horrible against the run, which makes no sense.
Yeah, and this is the game where they really can't afford, because Khalil Tate and also JJ Taylor is dangerous too.
And speaking of that, before we started recording, I know we were talking before we started recording, Arizona is ninth in total offense. Arizona is ninth in total offense, averaging 509 yards a game. Total offense. They average 300 yards through the air and 209 on the ground. And average 35 points per game. USC gives up, I believe, about 29 points per game, or 26 points per game defensively. And Arizona is outstanding on third down. I believe they're 11th in the nation in third down conversion.
Yeah,
and
USC has trouble getting off the field on third down.
And USC,
especially with mobile quarterbacks.
Yes. And it makes no sense. And it makes no sense because USC, USC has youth on their side. USC has youth, which is understandable. But you cannot tell me you simplified everything. And it gets worse. They don't tackle. They fail to tackle. They fail to contain the outside run. However, USC tends to get pressure. And with Khalil Tate, and if you watch the Washington game, with Khalil Tate, you have to create pressure on him. USC defensive coordinator Clancy Pendergast has done a great job containing Khalil Tate in the last three games that they've met. So, what would you say with this matchup, Dina, with the USC defense against the Arizona offense? What would you say about this? Like, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think, you know, the main thing obviously is being able to contain Khalil Tate, especially since we've had so much trouble containing mobile quarterbacks up until this point. You know, really, it's Arizona's ground game that kind of scares me the most. Just because, combined with USC having trouble against mobile quarterbacks, and then, you know, not being able to stop outside runs, that can be killer.
I would agree with that.
And I think if they, the defense can't get it done, then the offense cannot afford to stall. You know, they can't afford to leave points on the board.
And I'm glad you bring up the offense, Dina, because with the offense, this is, and this is why I say this game will be a shootout, because I said it earlier. This game, like in all likelihood, could be a high-scoring shootout. I don't think it will be, like, super high-scoring. I don't think U.S. I think Arizona, believe it or not, Arizona could likely win this game. Believe it or not. They have a puncher's chance. They have, not a puncher's chance, but they have a chance. Do I think they win this game? No. But they have a chance to win this game because of Arizona's offense alone. Arizona's defense, on the other hand, it's a tale of two stories. So, Arizona, run defense-wise, they're not completely horrible. They're middle of the pack in the Pac-12. They're in the middle of the pack of the Pac-12. However, the secondary, and that's where the huge story is, the secondary in the pass defense, that's a tale of two stories, too. They are very outstanding when it comes to turnovers. I think they average about, I think they have about six turnovers. They have.
Yeah, one of their cornerbacks has three interceptions alone.
Yeah, both of them, actually. I think two of them, both of the corners are two defensive backs have.
Whitaker has three.
Yeah, and. But didn't most of those come against Hawaii? So there's like a story there because the whole thing with numbers is that it's skewed. Numbers, if you look at numbers, it's like it's a whole different thing. Notre Dame is like that. Notre Dame is is a very good offense. I'm not going to say one of the best, but it's a pretty good offense. However, they padded their stats against teams who are not that good.
Mm-hmm.
And you can make that argument for a lot of teams, but it's the same with Arizona. Arizona has padded their stats against defenses, or they've padded their stats against teams who are not as great. Their turnovers, they forced, I believe, 10 turnovers. They forced about 10 turnovers this season. And the thing with the defense or with the secondary is they have six interceptions apiece. Two players got six interceptions apiece. Or not apiece, but to get combined. There's three picks each. The one that you just mentioned, Whitaker, I forgot who the other one was. However, they also give up, their pass rush is atrocious. They have no pass rush. And Arizona's corners cannot hang on for that long. And because of that, they give up a ton of passing yards. They give up the most, I believe they are tied with UCLA on giving up the most passing yards per game at about 309. They give up over 300 yards through the air.
This could be a chance for Keaton Slovis to really wow people. And exactly. I do think that Marquise Stepp will break 100 yards this game. So? I do. He had 82 against Notre Dame. His average was 8.2 yards per carry.
And not to mention that Keaton Slovis also took care of the ball.
Right.
He had no interceptions, and he threw for over 250 and two touchdowns. And he looked, and you know what? Keaton Slovis looked impressive. In a loss on the road, he looked very impressive.
He did.
He didn't force passes. when Notre Dame dropped 8 into coverage,
he was very mobile, getting away from pressure.
He was, although you do cringe when he runs. You cringe because he just had a concussion. More. But Dina, what are your I have to ask you, do you think this is the antidote that the USC passing game needs, that the air raid offense needs? It's playing against Arizona's, you know, pass defense that's not that good. That's not great at all.
This is Graham Harrell's real chance to really dial up some good things. I know. I don't know about you, but I'm not sold on this air raid for USC just because of. I don't think we should be throwing the ball on second and one, or third and one.
With the running back you have and right. get the yardage that you need, I'm with you on that. However, as somebody who is around play calling, I want to say it's depending on what the offense is, on what the defense is giving. And I, not to make an excuse for him, because I'm not making an excuse for Harrell. I feel like the air raid has been a bust.
But yeah, I'm not too impressed really with, I'm not like disappointed, but I'm not like wowed by Harrell. So this is his opportunity to wow me.
Right. Now, somebody did bring up a good point. I forgot, someone on Twitter brought up a good point. Graham Harrell at North Texas with the same offense was in the top 20 in offense. At North Texas. At USC, with the weapons that he has, he has not, they are not, they should be better. They should be way better, but they're not. They're like 60, I think they're in the 60s. So somebody brought up, is this offense being Heltonized? Or does Helton have a huge hand in it? Because Helton is an offensive coach. We have to look at that. Helton is an offensive coach. He is an offensive coach. Do you think Helton has a hand in this offense? And that's why the offense has looked a lot like the gumbo offense. It has not been up to what it was.
I don't know. I really can't comment on that. I wouldn't know. I mean,
it's not.
There's no way to know unless, like, you know.
Because they're saying that Graham Harrell is saying, yes, I'm calling the, it's my offense. I'm in control of the offense.
Right.
But you can't help to think Clay Helton went, hey, I want the offense ran like this. Because, to me, and I have not seen North Texas play, okay? So I can't tell you, oh, yeah, North Texas was this, and I honestly couldn't tell you that. Now, I will say, I think Keenan Slovis have looked great. Well, not great, but he's looked good. He's looked impressive despite the road loss that they had. I think he looked impressive. I don't think he's looked bad. He looked like a freshman. He has talent. He has promise.
There hasn't been a time where I have thought that, oh man, I really wish we had JT Daniel.
Although I do wonder, what would the offense look like under JT Daniels? What would it be under JT Daniels? But Slovis, believe it or not, I feel confident when Slovis goes in the game.
Yeah, I kind of feel the same way about Keaton that I felt about Sam Darnold when he was first getting started.
Yeah, well, you've been saying that for you've been saying this for weeks now, if not maybe months.
Yeah, I've been saying this. Yeah, I've been saying this since
spring camp. Probably. Camp. So it makes sense for you to say that. But I can't help but to think that. In all honesty, I can't help but to think I feel confident.
I really haven't seen, like, anyone, you know, in the media, you know, say anything like, oh, well, next year when JT's back, there, it's all been, you know, well, in the future, USC's will be in a good place because of Slovis will have some experience under his belt. So I think most people think that, you know, he's going to be the guy.
Well, it kind of depends on what a lot of people got to realize. It depends on how Daniels look, because he did tear ligaments in his knee. He tore a meniscus and his ACL.
Right.
So that plays a factor in it, where this gives Slovis a lot of time to, you know, to learn the offense. You know, this gives him a lot of time to get the offense, you know, to get the offense down, to get the chemistry with his receivers down. It's
interesting because I didn't feel this way last year, and I don't remember seeing anything on Twitter, but it's, how do I phrase this? There was never a point last year when I went, you know, after a game we lost or even really won that I was really excited about JT Daniels. But this year, even with a loss to Notre Dame, you know, I'm really excited about Keaton Slovis.
I'm excited for him too. I think he'll do I don't want to say amazing, but it's going to be something to where he helps out this team, where he has a tremendous game. I think this could be similar to the Stanford game. I think his performance could be very similar to the Stanford game.
Hi, this is Scott Galloway, professor of marketing at NYU Stern School of Business and host of the Prop G Pod. If you don't know me, the New York Times calls me the Howard Stern of business. Gary Swisher, super friggin' insightful, and Elon Musk, an insufferable numbskull. I think we're going to make up. I think we're going to go somewhere and do ketamine together. Each week on my show, the Prop G Pod, we bring you insights from Blue Flame thinkers, including my nemesis, Adam Grant. Super smart guy. My nemesis because he's really good. Or one of our favorite journalists, Fareed Zakaria. Fareed's a total gangster. Not only that, we provide listeners with a markets-driven episode every Monday. We answer our listeners' questions about business, big tech, and career pivots every Wednesday and get to listen to the sweet sound of George Hahn reading our newsletter every Saturday. That's right. The Prop G Pod is in your feeds four times a week. I'm like AOL in the 90s. To resist is futile. Put your hand into a box of cereal. Is it a tasty, sugary snack? Nope. It's the dog.
It has that potential.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in terms of the offense, if I think it's been Hiltonized and everything, I don't know. I honestly couldn't tell you. If Harrell is saying he's calling the plays, which in all honesty, I think this is his offense. I think a lot of people want to throw that out there because it's Clay Helton. Look, Clay Helton is not in the good graces of you, he's not in the good graces of USC fans right now.
Which we'll touch on that later. He's not in the good graces of USC fans right now. So a lot of people are looking for anything, and if you're a head coach, you're going to get blamed for a lot. So you're going to get blamed for a lot. You're going to be in the, you're not going to be in the good graces of a lot of people, you know, of fans, because you're not winning. So a lot of people are going to say, oh yes, this offense has been Hiltonized. Clay Helton has sabotaged this offense. I think, in reality, I think this was a worry of mine. I think in the defenses, the defenses are a lot more athletic, and the coordinators are a lot more seasoned than those in Conference USA. Let's bring that up. This is the Pac-12, so you got some pretty athletic defenses around here. Now, if you look at if you look at Wazoo has success with the air raid. So something ain't right. So something's not right here.
Yeah, Wazoo has success with the air raid, but they never can win anything with it.
Yeah, they won. It's when you play. They play Washington. They've done a good job against Oregon with it. They've done a good job against Cal.
Yeah, but they don't win Pac-12 championships. They don't really compete for anything except yards to the air.
When you run into Washington and you run into them having five first-round defensive backs and an outstanding defensive coordinator in Jimmy Lake who makes passing
games difficult.
They lost against
ASU, too. This year, and then they lost against UCLA.
I just think with the air raid, it's how is it that Washington State the last few years can win 9 to 10 games with it, and it's a struggle for USC. Maybe it's new with USC, and maybe with Helton or not Helton, but with Harrell. Harrell, this sees different. I think that's what it is. And I think, and who knows, maybe it explodes. Maybe it explodes moving forward. I'd hope so, at least. I would hope so, at least. But it's been a bust so far. I will say that. It's been a bust. And Harrell though I think Notre Dame, Harrell did a better job adjusting. But USC got to finish drives, too. Right. That's the issue. USC does not finish drives very well. They do not finish drives very well at all. Because that second quarter, if USC capitalizes off of the defense getting Notre Dame off the field and getting the ball back, USC likely wins that game.
Right.
A poor offensive second quarter is what done USC in. USC has to do better offensively. You were hired to fix the USC offense. So, I mean, Arizona is it. If USC struggles against Arizona, it's not going to be good. But who do you have winning this game? Though I know who you're going to pick, but what are your predictions for this game and who do you think comes out on top?
I think USC wins. I think, you know, especially since it's a home game, that gives them a good edge too. Score wise, I'll say
30. She has to really think about this, everyone, so bear with her.
I'm going to say 41-30.
That's not bad. That actually, and that realistically could happen. I am going to say USC. Look, every time I hesitate to pick USC because every time I pick USC to do something, they get it completely wrong. I said USC will put up 50 points on Fresno State. Who allowed me to say that? And Dina made fun of me at the game. So Dina went, and you said this team was going to put up 50. But I don't think anybody anticipated JT Daniels getting hurt.
Right.
Otherwise, that might have happened. I said USC would beat. I said USC would have got would get blown out by Washington, and that didn't happen. Though it wasn't a blowout, and I said USC would defeat Notre Dame in South Bend. That didn't happen. If I'm going to get something right, I'm going to get this right. So I think USC wins, but I think they win a close game. I think it will be 38-31. I said 45-28. I think USC wins this game. I think USC wins. I'm gonna go with that. 45-28. I think USC.
That's not that close.
I wanted to say 38-31 because I truly think Arizona's offense is going to put up points. I think Khalil Tate is going to rush for about 100 and something yards. Khalil Tate is going to get yardage. I don't have enough faith in this USC defense to contain Khalil Tate or JJ Taylor at that, you know, in this point. I think they're going to try to force Khalil Tate to beat them with his arm, which really that would play in the USC's hand. But I think USC wins this game 45-28. I was going to go 38-31, but I would not be shocked if and I said this with BYU too. I said this with BYU. I would not be shocked if Arizona wins this game. And I think if Arizona wins this game, you may see Clay Helton out the door. I truly think that. And the reason why I think that is because, I've said this for the past 2-3 weeks, I've said this. How much longer can USC sustain this? How long? They can't let him finish out the season. With the way, especially if you lose. Now, the reasoning why I think they're holding on to him now is because USC really owns their own destiny in the Pac-12 South. USC could go 9-3 easily. Well, I wouldn't say easily, but they could go 9-3. Realistically, they could. Whether you believe it or not, they could do it. But I don't think if they lose to Arizona, I think you have to pull the trigger on it. And I know people will say, well, USC needs an athletic director. There's no AD, so you have to wait and let the AD look. The athletic director, there's no guarantee that the new athletic director is going to come in and let Helton go. Why would you have the AD come in and his first thing on the job is you got to decide what the head coach or what's going to happen with the head coach? Lynn Swann didn't do it when he came in.
Yeah, but I think if that were the case, if USC continues to lose, I think as hopefully USC goes after an experienced AD, and as an experienced prominent AD, that's something you wouldn't be afraid to do just because that's your job.
But you're expecting USC. Now, granted, USC has taken the right steps of getting an athletic director. Let's applaud them there. But you're expecting USC to make a rational decision. USC in rational decisions with its football program or with its athletic program does not go hand in hand. USC in rational decisions with the university don't go hand in hand right now. But Carol Folt was at the Notre Dame game. in South Bend. I think if USC loses homecoming, if they lose, you have to start moving on and have somebody as an intern. Yeah, okay. So what? They don't have an athletic director. Let the athletic director pick his guy. Let him come in. Let the AD come in from scratch and let him pick his guy. Now, I don't know how long it'll take for USC to pick their AD. I don't know who they have candidate wise or anything like that. We haven't heard anything. But I don't know. Everyone's like, well, wait till the AD comes. The AD is going to, the AD is going to make that decision. But you're banking on a new AD paying attention to what's happening at USC.
I mean, I think it's hard not to pay attention just because.
But what if they get an AD from another school? The AD wasn't paying attention at that school.
Anyone who watches college football knows what's going on with USC. Right.
The AD, the athletic director has to, and I know the AD, he has to think of multiple sports. Just like with Carol Fultz, you have to think about the university well-being. Mm-hmm. I think with the AD, and it boils down to overall sports, and I'm going to talk about this a little bit before we move on, is that USC Athletics is not in the best of spots right now when it comes to its main Olympic sports. Baseball has gone downhill since 2015. Baseball has been atrocious since, well, I don't want to say atrocious, but it has not improved since 2015. Men's basketball, although recruiting-wise has been amazing, men's basketball has underachieved with the talent that it has under Andy Enfield. And if Andy Enfield underachieves again this year, he might be out the door, because there's no way you have a top five recruiting class and don't make the NCAA tournament. There's no way on earth that happens. But women's basketball, I don't know what's going on with women's basketball, but they just had a mass exodus of transfers. So women's basketball, you have to think about that. You have to think about men's basketball. You got to think about baseball. You got to think about the football program. Though people want the football program to be the football program again. I think with USC, they have to get this right. They can't go the typical USC route. And with football, if they do decide to let Clay Helton go, which I think it's all, we're getting closer and closer to it by this day, they have to get the hire right.
Right, yeah.
And I've looked at the Yahoo article that Pat Forty came out with, and he mentioned, of course, obviously, he mentioned Urban Meyer. That's the top choice. But I say this, does Urban Meyer even want to coach again? That is the number one question. Because everybody assumes, oh, yes, Urban Meyer will come to USC. If USC throws money, does Urban Meyer even want to come to USC? Does he want to even coach? That's the biggest question, because he said it's his health. Does he want to coach again? So you move on. James Franklin.
Although I do think if none of that Zach Smith crap happened, I think he'd still be there. I don't think he would have retired because of
I think he'd be at Ohio State still too. Though we could say if Florida didn't go backwards, he'd still be at Florida. We can say that too. And then you hear, oh well, James, what about Bob Stoops? Does Bob Stoops even want to come back to college?
He's been out for a while, though.
Bob Stoops is coaching in the XFL.
Is he really?
Yes, he's coaching the Dallas team. I think it's Dallas Renegades.
He wants to coach again, maybe not college.
Well, he's coaching professional football, for crying out loud. Does Bob Stoops even want to go back to college? I mean, it's realistic. It could be possible. So now you move on to the next one, James Franklin. Is James Franklin even going to leave Penn State? That's not a guarantee. You move on to the next one, Mario Cristobal. Is Mario Cristobal even going to want to leave Oregon? He's building Oregon. But then again, what's his face left Oregon too? So, I mean.
Yeah, I kind of want someone who's won a national championship.
Who is that going to be right now?
So I kind of really want Urban Meyer.
Urban Meyer is the top of the top choices, yeah. But if he's not it. And I've heard people throw out Chris Peterson. Chris Peterson's not going to leave Washington.
No, I don't want
he's not leaving Washington.
No, I don't get all the hype about
times,
Chris
went
Peterson.
To the college
no, thanks. No.
I'm just saying. But he's not leaving Washington. So you move on. And I don't think Mario Cristobal is leaving Oregon.
I don't want Cristobal.
He just got to Oregon.
Like, he hasn't shown anything really yet. Okay, they're doing well. So what?
Well, he knows California with recruiting, and he's coaching up his recruits. I mean, you can't argue that. He's plucked some of the top recruits from California to Oregon.
Well, yeah, but that's only because USC's been kind of down. I don't think he would be able to do that if we would have, won the Rose Bowl last year.
Who else is there that was brought up? And then somebody brought up Jack Del Rio. Look.
No.
I said I was going to go on this rant on this show. Although it's been 50 minutes. I'm going to go on this rant. No way. You keep Jack Del Rio away from USC coaching anything. I don't want him as the head coach. I don't want him as a defensive coordinator. I don't want him as the offensive coordinator. I don't want him as the defensive analyst. I don't want him as a water boy. I don't want him as a yell leader. He can come back because he's alumni. But I think a lot of people go, well, Jack Del Rio was an NFL coach. He was at USC. He knows the truth. No. If you look, he had that one good year with the Raiders.
Right.
And then he had all that talent with the Raiders. And what have he done? I feel like every year Jack Del Rio is brought up with a coaching vacancy at USC.
Yeah, every year Jack Del Rio.
Remember,
I don't know why I can't think of his name. The old Rams coach.
Jeff Fisher.
Those are the two that are always brought up.
No. Whoever brings up Jeff Fisher really needs to be checked.
How about we bring in OJ?
And on that note, folks, we will end this show with the OJ.
Oh, my God.
We even want OJ near
so
U.S.
So funny. OJ head coach.
They don't even hello,
that's
Twitter.
That's funny.
Yours truly. Though his Twitter is amazing. I'm sorry. I have gotten a lot of pure entertainment off of OJ Simpson's Twitter.
Yeah, somebody he'd be like the Donald Trump of football coaches, I'm sure.
Mentioned Marcus Allen one year. I don't know why Marcus Allen was brought up.
Yeah, I mean, has he ever coached?
Marcus Allen?
Uh-huh.
No, I don't know why you would. But
yeah,
then
why,
hey, Clay Helton has been the head coach for how many years? So apparently experience is not a thing at USC. And if that's the case, let me submit my application to be an offensive coordinator at USC. But I don't get it. Like, why does Jack Del Rio keep – he got brought up – okay, he was brought up after Pete Carroll.
I can tell you why. Because he's been in the NFL and he's a USC alumni. That's why.
Okay. Why
an
isn't
NFL the, coach.
So why isn't Chris Richard, I believe his name, at the defensive coordinator for the Cowboys? Why isn't he being considered for the head coaching job then? He's a USC alumnus. He played for Pete Carroll. He's been in the NFL. Like, that's where I'm getting at with this here.
Yeah.
Like, we can't, though, a lot of, we keep bringing up, well, he was in the NFL because of Pete Carroll, and now Herm Edwards right now, because Herm Edwards is having a lot of success. I think you can have success if you have things going the right way, and you get the players to buy in. And with USC, their issue has just been developing players and getting the most out of their players and coaching. That has been the issue with USC. It hasn't been that they can't get players to buy in. It's just the head coach isn't good. Unfortunately, great guy, nice guy, good recruiter. He's a player's coach, but he does not help get the most out of these players. You are not going to get next level with Clay Helton as your head coach. There is a reason why USC is in the state that they're in now. As I mentioned to Dina before, and I've mentioned it to someone else too, I think you have your top three candidates are Urban Meyer, Bob Stoops, if you really want to go that route, Urban Meyer, Bob Stoops, and Jimmy Lake. Or you could go, what about PJ Fleck? From Minnesota. Minnesota is 6-0 right now. He turned Western Michigan around.
Yeah,
he's
turning Minnesota around. I want someone who's played in a Power 5 conference.
I would say look at Tom Herman, but Tom Herman been in a Power 5 conference before, not as a head coach.
Yeah, Tom Herman's not leaving Texas anyway.
No, I wasn't saying bringing them in. They jacked that up. They passed that up. That didn't happen. Just like they had James Franklin and that didn't happen.
Matt Rule had him.
Matt Rule would be a good pickup. Look at how he's turning Baylor around. Matt Rule, PJ Fleck they're not splash hires. And with USC, you kind of need a splash hire.
Right.
At USC, you need a splash hire. You need a Power 5 splash hire. Bob Stoops and Urban Meyer, if they get Urban Meyer, that would tremendously shift things at USC. That would shift a lot at USC. It's just like if James Franklin or Chris Peterson was hired at USC over Sarkisian. That would shift everything at USC. That would have shifted things at USC. And USC probably would have been in a better state. So, I mean, there's that. There is that. Let's go ahead and let's make some picks. I know we didn't really make any picks last week, right?
Because
we had to kind of rush. So, and last week actually would have been a good week to make some picks. There were some good games. And speaking of that, I have to give you credit, Dina. I have to give you credit. Because you said Georgia was going to lose a game.
I did.
You said somebody was gonna. I know Georgia was one of them, and you said Clemson, but you did say Georgia was gonna lose a game, and lo and behold, they did.
Yeah, that was a cool moment for Ryan Helinski and that whole story.
Yeah, that was a great moment. That was very good. So, let's start off. We're going to go ahead. We're going to make you want to go Pac-12 first and then out of conference. Okay. We'll start Pac-12 first. So, let me pull this up on my phone, cuz
I got to pull up the game. So we picked USC Arizona. As we know, Arizona's favorite by 9.5. Some places have it as 10. So I don't know. That line, things with that changes drastically all the time. So Oregon and Washington. I feel like this game, let's go ahead and let's pick that game. Game is at 12:30 p.m. Oregon's favorite by 2.5. I believe the game is on ABC. It's supposed to rain at Husky Stadium in Seattle. Washington coming off a blowout win. Oregon, I believe, had a bye week last week. No, they played Friday. They played Colorado and blew out Colorado. So, excuse me. I don't know. With this game, what do you think? Who do you think wins in this game?
I think Oregon. I'm taking Oregon.
I'm taking Oregon, but neither Oregon nor Washington really impressed me. Even when USC played Washington, they didn't impress me. Mm-hmm. And I was at the Stanford game when they played Washington. And so I think Oregon wins this game. I think they win it by it's either going to be Oregon wins by 2 scores. And I feel like this game could go either way. I really feel this game could go either way. But I think because Washington had difficulties, I think Oregon wins this game. But I don't think neither team has really impressed me so far. We have another ranked game, a Pac-12 South game actually. And this one will be interesting. So you have two teams who lost one game in Arizona and Utah. Both are 5-1. Both are ranked in the AP top 25. Arizona State is 17th. While Utah is 13, Utah is favored by 13.5, which I think is a ridiculous line, given how ASU's played. Dina, who do you have winning this game?
Where is it at?
In Utah. It's at Utah.
Yeah, I have Utah. I have Utah if it was in Arizona, too. But no, I definitely have Utah.
I would pick Utah convincingly, but here's the thing with Arizona State. They went into Michigan State and beat Michigan State. Although you could say they shouldn't have beaten them, you know, you can say whatever you want. Arizona State done it, and they done it with a freshman quarterback. Herm Edwards has that team playing good football right now. Arizona State is as tough of a team that nobody is talking about. Impressive. They're an impressive team. They should be undefeated by now. If you really think about it, because they shouldn't have lost to Colorado, but they did. I'm going to go with Utah still. I'm going to go with Utah. But I think Arizona State makes it close. I think it'll be a close game.
Mm-hmm.
I really think this will be a close game. And the reason why I say I think it will be a close game is because Arizona State could win this one. Or Arizona State is a good team. And I wouldn't be surprised if they beat Utah at home. But I have a hard – because Utah's defense is just good. They're very good against the run. Their secondary is suspect. But they're very good against the run. They're very good against the run. I think it will be close, though. I mean, a true freshman going into Rice-Eccles Stadium, though, that's tough.
Yeah.
That's tough for anybody going to Rice-Eccles Stadium and to win that game like that. So I got Utah. This one, we have Cal and Oregon State. I'm going Oregon State. You going Oregon State on this?
Yeah. Devin Monster is absolute garbage. Garbage.
Yeah. But I don't know. Cal's defense is good. Against Oregon State. And it's at
Jake Lutton's playing pretty solid, though.
But it's at Cal. And Cal's playing good football. And not to mention
Cal... Well, defense is playing good football.
Yeah, that is true. And not to mention, if Cal wins this game and if Washington beats Oregon, then you're looking at a potential three-way tie in the North. Right now.
Yeah, ain't no way it's going to be tied for long with them and Monster.
No. Well, Cal still got to play USC and so forth. Here's the thing. Cal still has to play. They played Oregon. They beat Washington. They're, what, third? Oh, my God. Yeah. Wait. Yeah. Well, no, because they'll be third. They'll be third if they win. They still got to play Utah. Oh yeah, never mind. They're not gonna be up there for long. Never mind. I forgot. They play at Utah. They play Washington State. They play USC. Yeah, they could go into a loop. They play at Stanford. Yeah, never mind. Yeah, forget that talk. I still think they win this game, but I don't think. Yeah, no. Colorado and Washington State. Game is at Wazoo. It's at Martin Stadium.
Washington State.
I'm taking Wazoo. Washington State lost three straight, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
I think they break it against Colorado. Washington State's favorite by 12. It's supposed to rain and snow. And that game is on ESPNU. That game's on ESPNU? And mind you, USC in Arizona is Pac-12 after dark, so it's at 6:30. What is it? What time is that game at? It's at 6:30. So yeah, it's Pac-12 after dark. Now, let's go into some key games here. West Virginia and Oklahoma. Oklahoma's favored by 32. I got Oklahoma.
Yeah.
But do you think Oklahoma suffers a hangover from the Red River Shootout?
No. Not against West Virginia.
Not even in the slightest bunch?
No.
Okay.
I am not impressed with Austin Kendall.
I try Mountaineer fans, although I do like your fight song.
I like those little raccoon hats. Davy Crockett hats.
It's West Virginia. What do you expect? there's no line to... I was going to say Wisconsin versus USC North in Illinois, but we're going to skip that.
Yes. Wisconsin, obviously.
Florida and South Carolina. Game is at South Carolina. South Carolina's coming off of a win, a double overtime win against Georgia.
Yeah, Florida. Ryan Helinski's hurt, though, I think. I don't know if they've announced if he's playing or not.
I don't know if Helinski will be playing this game. I don't see anything.
Even if he plays, I can't see them pulling off two upsets in a row. I'm going to take Florida.
I'm taking Florida, too, depending on the QB situation. I don't know what it'll be. Florida's favorite by 4.5 on the road. The game's at South Carolina. I give South Carolina a puncher's chance. If it's at home, I give them a chance. I kind of give them a chance. It's at home. You're coming back home after a huge win. Not like they're going to the swamp after a huge win. Then that would be different.
Yeah.
That would be different. What other games are there? Oklahoma State and Baylor. Baylor is 6-0. Oklahoma State's 4-2. Oklahoma State is favored by 4. Game is at Oklahoma State. It's on the Fox.
I think this will be a good game.
This will be a shootout. This is going to be a high-scoring game.
I do want Baylor to win, but I don't know why. Something's telling me Oklahoma State.
Oklahoma State's coming off of a loss to Texas Tech. They lost to Texas. They lost to Texas by six. They're coming off of a loss, a 10-point loss to Texas Tech. Baylor just beat Texas Tech by three. That game was 2 weeks ago. Anyway, I'm going Baylor. I'm going Baylor in a shootout. Though this is going to be a fun game to watch. Temple, who is 5-1 and just beat Memphis, a previously undefeated and ranked Memphis team, 4-1, going up against the Pony Express, the rejuvenated SMU Mustangs, back from the death penalty at 6-0.
Yeah.
Wait, are they 6-0?
Back from the death penalty.
Back from the death penalty of the late 80s. The late 80s?
Yeah.
Of the late 80s. I'm picking SMU because I want SMU to stay undefeated so badly.
Yeah, me too.
I want SMU to stay undefeated so badly. And they're doing it with transfers, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Shane Bouchel coming in from Texas.
So, here's something. SMU got a chance to take its breath right in the middle of its best season. So they're having their best season since the Pony Express days, believe it or not. Shane Bouchel is SMU's quarterback. Don't that sound familiar to you?
Yeah, I just said.
No, Shane Bouchel.
Yeah, I just said he came from Texas.
Oh, okay. My bad. I wasn't listening. Look, Fresno State and UNLV is on right in front of me. So, I mean, it's on right in front of us. And which really, George Reyna really works my nerves. I don't know why. Don't pretend I didn't say that. Anyway, I'm going SMU because I really want SMU to win this game. I'm going SMU.
Yeah,
what other games are there that's interesting? Appalachian State's 5-0. Anybody catch that?
Interesting.
Who's
Texas? Oh, they play Kansas.
They play Texas is favored by 21.
What about LSU? Who do they play?
Mississippi State.
Oh,
at Mississippi State, they're favored by 18. Michigan,
what about Georgia?
I think Georgia got a bye. What about Michigan? Oh, here we go. Michigan and Penn State.
I'm calling it. Did I tell you this earlier? Penn State is going to expose Michigan. Not that they haven't been exposed this year already, but they're going to expose them to the voters.
She's been saying this for the whole week. We've been saying Michigan is fake, fraudulent.
Yeah, they're going to expose Shea Patterson, too.
Oh, I got Penn State big. No, I got Penn State by two touchdowns.
It's at Penn State.
I got Penn State by two touchdowns. I don't think they blow them out, but I think it'll be pretty. I think they beat them by two scores. Because not only that, Michigan, here's the thing, Michigan not only goes to Penn State, so you gotta play Penn State, but the next week you play Notre Dame next week. They play Penn State and Notre Dame. I got Penn State in this one. Also, Penn State's playing some good football. Tennessee and Alabama. I got Alabama.
Yeah.
The third Saturday in October. I got Alabama big.
Yeah.
It's at Alabama too, so.
Mm-hmm.
Boise State and BYU. Boise
this
State
one's interesting because their quarterback's hurt. And I think BYU's like down to their third string quarterback too.
Yeah, the first African American quarterback.
No, and he got hurt.
He got hurt too?
Yeah, I think. Because they had someone else come in at the end, I thought.
Something's in the water with quarterbacks.
Yeah, this is definitely across the NFL too, not just in college. The year of the quarterback getting hurt.
Every year in football, you got something weird going on. I have Boise State.
Yeah.
I have Boise State. And I'm still trying to figure out how USC lost to BYU. The game's at BYU, by the way. It's in Provo.
Yeah, I still have Boise.
I still got Boise State. Other than that, before we go off the air. So, Dina, you want to share with the people a poll that you put up?
I posted today a poll that said, you know, what do y'all think of candy corn? Disgusting or yum? And as of right now, 68% say disgusting, 32% say yum. So
those 68 people are saints.
Correct.
We need to have a conversation. I'm dedicating a segment to this because we need to have a conversation about this. We really need to have a conversation about candy corn and Halloween candy. Why do people think candy corn is so good?
Yeah, I don't know. It's not.
It isn't. It's trash. I can't even say it's overrated because it don't even deserve the word overrated. It is the UCLA of Halloween candies. I don't get what is the crazy phenomenon with candy corn.
Yeah, I don't understand it either. It tastes like wax, first of all. And it kind of burns my throat. I don't know why. Maybe because it's so sweet. I don't know.
Dina, how do you know what wax tastes like?
Well, you know what I mean.
you set yourself up for that one. How do you know what wax tastes like? Let's start there. Have you been eating? Did you eat wax or something?
No. I mean, you know how you can, like,
you kind of know what it tastes, or you kind of have that idea of what it tastes like. And
when things taste like a smell, stuff like that.
Yeah. I don't get it. Like, a lot of people are like, oh, it's good.
And the worst are those big pumpkins. Hoot. Pumpkin candy corn, like the heat, you know, the ones that are shaped like a pumpkin.
Candy corn in general is just nasty.
Yeah, it's not good.
Let's just mention that, okay? It's nasty in general. It's nasty in general, and I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. That's my thing. That's my thing. It's just, why do people like candy? And I mean, if you think it's good, then you know what? That's you. Everybody is subjected to their opinions. But I will tell you, your opinion is wrong. It is a wrong opinion, but it's an opinion. You know, it's an opinion. I just think it's not good. I don't think it's good. I think it, in all honesty, I think it is the most overrated candy that has ever been made.
Yeah.
To humankind.
I don't think I would say it's overrated.
It's not overrated because it don't even deserve to be rated.
Yeah.
It's trash. It's absolute trash. It is.
No, it is.
It really is. So that's just how I view it. But other than that, I think that'll be it. I'm sorry, I just saw something funny. So that will be it. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at @CChroniclesSBN. You can also follow me on Twitter at @MattALowry.
You can follow me at @AlwaysCompete.
And make sure you subscribe to our podcast on Google Play, Apple iTunes, Spotify, and Megaphone. Be sure to listen to our podcast, rate us, tell us what you think. I know we have like a 2-star rating right now. People don't think highly of us, but hey, it is what it is. Again, you are entitled to your opinion. It is the wrong opinion, just like candy corn being good. But until then, enjoy the game, everyone, and fight on.
Fight on.